Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, December 22nd. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. What does it feel like to sing in front of millions of television viewers? We got to speak to a Fresno native who recently competed in the wildly popular NBC singing competition, The Voice.
Obviously, I wanted to win, but at the end of the day, you know, just getting to second place is crazy.
We'll speak with Ralph Edwards about what it was like working with his coach, Snoop Dogg. That conversation's coming up in just a moment.
As we get ready to send 2025 into the history books, let's resolve to make 2026 a year filled with trusted information, imagination, and inspiration. It's what KVPR brings the Central Valley every day, and our resolve to serve you has never been stronger. KVPR may have been defunded, but we are not defeated. Help keep local public radio alive in this new era with your year-end donation today. Give now at kvpr.org.
And now to our feature story. Imagine you're following a dream. You give it a go, and it doesn't work. So you try again. And again, maybe even a fourth time. But would you try 12 times? That's what Fresno native Ralph Edwards did. He tried out for NBC's singing competition show, The Voice, 12 times before he finally made it onto the show. And he also tried out for a handful of other singing competition shows as well. Eventually, he made it all the way to last week's live broadcast of the season finale of The Voice, where he finished in second place, right behind the winner, Aiden Ross. After the finale aired on national television, Ralph drove back to Fresno, and within about 48 hours, he was singing for us in the KVPR studios. You will have to wait for the end of the interview to hear a few bars of his incredible voice. But first, Ralph kicks off our conversation discussing how it felt to make it that far in the competition.
It's a bittersweet moment, you know. Obviously, I wanted to win, but at the end of the day, you know, just getting to second place is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, as my, I don't know if you guys know a little bit about my story, but I tried out 11 times and this was the 12th.
Wow.
And so it's funny too, because December 14th, 2013 was the first day I tried out for The Voice. And then the next day was the finale of, you know, where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's such a crazy experience. It was so fun. And I always tell people, just never give up. 12 times a charm. You know, it's.
Well, that makes me wonder, like, that persistence that you had. Why was this show the right show for you? And what kept you going so many times?
Well, it wasn't just this show, to be honest. I did try out 11 times, or 12 times technically now, but for the show. But, I mean, I tried out for American Idol. I tried out for America's Got Talent. I tried out for all those shows multiple times too.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
You know, I my mom always asked me, like, are you gonna ever have like a plan B? And I just told her no. Like,
wow.
This was what I want. And so, you know, just doing music full time was what I wanted to do forever, and it still is. So yeah.
And what's next? Because you have a band, so tell us about your band and how music figures into your life now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a band called Vibe Check. We're about 3 years old, and we perform all through the Central Valley, Sacramento, the Bay Area, wherever we can play, we'll go. So we just have fun, and that's the plan, is to continue doing that on a bigger scale, though.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Valentine's Day show coming up, and, you know, it's a ticketed event now versus we used to do a lot of, you know, public shows, and I want to continue doing public shows, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we have to step it up a little bit after the show, and we're trying to, you know, move up into a different level of music. So
I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd love to see you perform, so that'll certainly help the band. So circling back to The Voice, at the start of the season, just for folks who don't know, during the blind auditions, there's a component where all the judges listen to the person auditioning without seeing them.
Yeah.
And the judges turn their chairs if they're interested in you joining their team. And all four of this year's judges turn their chairs for you. That was Michael Bublé, Reba McEntire, Niall Horan, and Snoop Dogg. You got to choose which judge you wanted to work with, which must have been incredible, first of all. You chose Snoop Dogg. What made you want to work with Snoop?
So the one thing about him is he has his hands in everything. He literally does everything. I mean, I can tell you a little later, I guess, about, you know, what he sends us on like a monthly basis. Aww. But, you know, he bought Death Row Records. He created Death Row Pictures. He has Death Row Gaming. Like, he does everything.
He's a businessman.
And, he's a businessman. And I knew I can learn from him because I consider myself, on a very smaller scale, but a businessman too when it comes to like my band. You know, we produce merch. We make our merch ourselves. We do all kinds of different things. And I looked at it as a learning opportunity, but also he made the best case to pick him. All of them were very nice. You know, I almost chose Michael Bublé. I was very close.
Wow.
And, you know, because him and Michael Bublé actually talked a little bit more than Reba and Niall. But Michael was really, I was really close to picking Michael. And then Snoop was like, he brought out 8 or 9 of his actual signed artists, writers. And he was just like, man, I want you to be a part of this family. And I'm big on family. And I was very, very impressed with that. And I don't regret anything.
It was very compelling. People can go on YouTube and watch that moment. And, you know, for the record, all 4 of the judges really wanted you. So that was flattering
it was
as well.
It was such a good feeling.
I mean, how incredible, because some people only get one person to turn for them and they're grateful to have the opportunity, of course. Mm-hmm. But for you to have your choice, that just must have felt really gratifying after so many years of trying to get that stage and that attention for your work.
After trying out 11 times, this being the 12th, and getting all 4 of them to want me, it was, yeah, I was on top of the world for a second.
I bet you were. Okay, I want to note that one of the 3 songs you sang for the season finale was a duet with Snoop Dogg. You mm-hmm. sang This Christmas with him. Overall, what was that like, getting to not just have that working relationship with him, but then perform with him? And so tell us about the performance, but also just, you know, the behind-the-scenes relationship that we don't always get to see as part of the show.
Well, rehearsing with him was fun.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a cool person. He's funny.
Yeah.
He cracks jokes all the time. And you know, it was just fun. I mean, he was basically telling me, he was like, man, I'm gonna step back and just let you go. But he's like, I'm gonna get my spots. And I was like, well, which version do you wanna do? And I mentioned the Chris Brown version. He was like, oh no, we're not doing that one. But the Donnie Hathaway, and then we did like the Whisper. We did like a mix of all 3 versions, which was super cool too. We wanted to kind of pay homage to like the, you know, all 3 generations of mm-hmm. that, because the Whispers version's slowed down. The Donnie Hathaway version's a little bit more upbeat, and then Chris Brown's super R&B. And mm-hmm. it was just, man, it was fun.
Very memorable, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I do want to learn more about some of your backstory and what led you to be a singer. But first, I did want to play an excerpt of one of the songs you sang for the season finale of The Voice. So here's a clip of you singing I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner. Oh my gosh, that just put such a smile on my face. That is incredible. The quality of your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Chills.
That was so fun.
That was, yeah, so rich and smooth. What was that like to perform? There was like a gospel choir on stage with you, right?
Yeah, no, they, I mean, we rehearsed and stuff. It was so fun. Like, I mean, I got to know a lot of the choir members and, you know, some of the dancers and all that stuff. And it was just, it was so fun. It was,
yeah.
I can't even, yeah. I literally, after one of the rehearsals, I just was like, man, this has always been one of my dreams. So thank you guys. And, you know, everybody, we got a little emotional for a second. It was a cool little moment, but yeah, no, it was amazing.
There's a lot of emotion in that song and the way you sing it. And it must have been just very validating for this gift that you've been given to get to do that. When did you realize you wanted to be a singer and that this is something you wanted to make a career out of?
Well, this dates back to I was like 3 years old in my grandma's living room, you know, singing I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, when I really got serious, I was in choir in middle school. I never wanted to do a solo or anything like that. I was always kind of the shy kid. And even growing up, too, my dad used to, like, take me to, like, I don't want to say parties, but like his certain like, you know, work events and parties and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, get togethers. And he would put me in the living room in front of everybody, turn the TV off and make me sing for people.
Oh my
gosh. Oh yeah. You say, oh my God, it was traumatizing.
Oh. But
it's because I was always shy though. That's
yeah,
what it was. But
yeah.
But you know what? I'm glad he did it because, you know, here we are now and I'm not shy.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
I'm not shy ever. But no, I mean, you know, with choir in middle school, choir in high school, and then going to college choir, you know, that took me to France. We toured 7 villages in the south of France with my college choir, the Fresno City Singers.
Yeah, I love it.
And then, you know, that led me up to, you know, after choir, a couple of years, I think I just did like karaoke for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, and then after that, I joined a band. It's called the 1140 Band. And I was with them for about 3 years. And then I started my own. And here we are with Vibe Check for 3 years now, and we're hitting the ground running.
Along the way, was most of this self-taught? Did you have mentors? How informative was your choir experience?
Choir, I learned a lot, you know, how to read music and, you know, I would say how to kind of read music, if anything. But, you know, music theory and stuff like that. And then I also took a voice class, too, which brought a lot out of my voice. And, you know, it just taught me some technique. But, you know, I always used to warm up and do, you know, just do all the exercises that I needed to do to maintain my voice. Because, yeah, singing like that is especially 3-4 nights a week for 3-4 hours. It's crazy. So
in terms of what's next for you, I'm also curious if you might get to keep working with Snoop Dogg. Like, will you get to continue working together or what's next?
So, I mean, without saying too much, I mean, I definitely, you know, plan on, you know, we talk for sure.
Yeah.
I talk to his team a lot and yeah, I mean, I'm singing at the Arizona Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
I'm singing the national anthem at the Arizona Bowl.
Congrats.
And so, which is crazy that Fresno State got added to it.
I know.
Which is amazing, or that they got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm going to go hang out with one of my favorite uncles on December 28th. And so, yeah, I get to see him then and just behind the scenes stuff, hanging out with him and his crew and everybody. You know, I got to go to his birthday party.
Oh, my gosh.
That was nuts.
Wow.
But he's just, like I said, he's the coolest person. He, you know, he whispered in my ear after, like, he hugged me after the results. And he was just like, now the real work starts.
Wow.
You know, here we go. Let's
yeah.
work. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Same thing. I was like, I'm ready. I want to do this. This is going to be my life. So I'm ready.
Lots of good things to come. Okay. I can't let you go, Ralph, without asking if you'd sing a song for us. Do you want to?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't know what I'm going to sing though. I'm losing. I'll do a little bit of this Christmas.
Okay.
That
perfect.
I sang
yeah. A little holiday.
I'll sing a little his
perfect.
Part. Hang all the mistletoe. I'm going to get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together this Christmas. The fireside is blazing bright, and we're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me, yeah.
It's my favorite interview I've ever done.
Oh, gosh,
you literally just gave me chills. That was incredible.
Thank you. I did not warm up this morning, so don't judge me.
You don't even need to.
Ralph
Edwards, runner-up for season 28 of NBC's The Voice. Thank you so much for coming here
and
doing that for us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.